This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back to 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday, and good to see not only my buddy John Young, but also Drew Forward in studio for Men United Against Violence. And you heard it in some of the newscasts here on the station, but it has not, carried the weight that it should, that yet another violent weekend, a murderous weekend for Mobile, of course, stemming off the murderous rampage that happened in Baldwin County. And here we sit, and the numbers continue. John, you told me how many?
There are seven this month.
Get you
Sean.
Close to that mic. There you go.
How's this? Seven this month.
Seven this month.
In Mobile.
Seven.
Four of those are criminal investigations, and three will be presented to grand jury. But where's the outrage? When I called you Saturday, I was hot.
You were hot. You were.
And I told you I'd still be angry today, and I am angry because over the weekend we have shooting into occupied vehicles and homes, and a third suspect in the shooting in Stockton that wounded 18 and killed three. And I'm still angry because no one else is angry. Where are all of these social justice warriors who stand up? What do you think is going to happen when a violent person has contact with the police? You're going to have another violent incident. We aren't talking enough about preventing it. Where's the outrage for this 37-year-old black woman killed by a black man, mother of three in Stockton?
And this shooting, we'll come back to Mobile, but the shooting in Stockton, to know, even if there was somebody there they wanted to shoot, which is a whole other discussion that I still have a problem with. But you would shoot into a crowd of people that you have no way to know who those people are,
right.
And you're just shooting them.
Right. And
you're just shooting
and
them.
And the callousness to have black shooters shooting into a crowd of black people, how can that be racism? How do we always end up with blaming racism and police for these ills in these communities? And looking at the photographs, there was nothing behind their eyes. The suspect pictures on the news, they were empty. They had no remorse. How are we breeding such cold, callous killers? Aren't we fascinated in that? Aren't we fascinated to learn what is the commonality that these black men are either defending their lives against black men or willing to take the life of a black man without hesitation? Those are just murders, Drew. We're not talking about black men who've been shot and assaulted, robbed.
Yes.
We're not talking about black women who've been beaten. Just homicides this year.
You know, you mentioned this, and you and I have talked personally about this. What gets pushed off, too, are injuries. Like, people are like, well, three are killed, and then they say, well, the 15, they're injured.
Right.
Y'all know in y'all's world what people who deal with that stuff lifelong. I know one person who had a gunshot injury that the idea that, they just got shot and it's like a movie where they stitched them up and, all right, Sarge, I'm going back
slap
out.
Slap iron to it.
Yeah.
No, 19-year-olds with colonoscopy bags, 20-year-olds paralyzed. You know you can never have the pleasure of a woman when you're paralyzed at 20? Your friends stop coming around after the first month their tattoo ink dries.
That's right.
They stop visiting mom when you're dead and it's 3 months later. I bet no one's visiting the deceased parents of these kids.
Nope.
Where's the outrage? If we can fund an investigation into the police department for violent contact with known criminals, aren't we even a little curious about why black men find it so easy to use violence, Drew?
Well, JY, the outrage is clearly selective, right? Because if the police come into contact with a violent offender and they do something to him during that altercation, then the outrage is massive, right? We have people coming from out of town, getting on the news, making all sorts of noise about that. But it's right here in our backyard with people that we live with. We live among them, right? And they hurt one another, and it's par for the course.
Oh, that's just what black folks do.
It's just what it is.
Well, I've even heard when Michael Moore was killed several years ago, someone even said, it's one thing if he died in the drug game, but when a police officer takes his life, what kind of I'm not allowed to say sometimes the colorful metaphors I want to
that's
use
right,
on air.
I gotta keep my license.
Right, but the hypocritical nature of some of the things that people say in defense of this nonsense. It's okay when black folks, and have we become so callous? Then I have to believe that the people who say they care really don't. I think it's just a campaign slogan.
And does Benjamin Crump care about the death of a black man if he doesn't see dollar signs associated with it?
No.
You know?
There's no paycheck associated with the black woman that was killed in Stockton.
No.
There's no paycheck associated with the 19-year-old that was shot and killed in Mobile. There's no paycheck associated with the 7 deaths this month.
Mm-hmm.
20 total for the month. 25 every month? We aren't curious. Drew, we're not even fascinated. What? I'll bet a PhD candidate at South Alabama has already done the study. I'll bet someone already has analyzed the numbers, the statistics involving black-on-black crime or all crime, which is still 90% violent crime committed by black people against black people. I'll bet it's already done. But the people who make money off of it, these alphabet organizations who are funded by it, they don't have any interest in solving the problem because they'll work their way out of a job. And once we've solved current issues, Drew, they don't have a problem with dragging up something from the past. We went from slaves to white supremacy. They leapt all over the civil rights movement, the right to vote, the right to move where you want, the black president, a black speaker of the house. They've leapt all over. We went from being slaves to now white supremacy. And you show me systemic racism in these failing black schools. You show me systemic racism in black neighborhoods held hostage by drug dealers.
Especially when the politicians above those neighborhoods, the ones, they're black too, right?
Right.
The teachers in those failing black schools, guess what most of them are?
Black.
They're black as well. What about the administration there, the principal?
Right.
So if it's all racism, JY, then how in the world are all of these black people working in those communities and still you get the same type of result?
Because the home is broken. We refuse to point the finger where it should be pointed first. We talk about outcomes, Sean, and when I had my tirade with you Saturday, we always talk about the outcome. Violent individuals come into contact with police and are shot. Oh, suddenly he was a good boy. You knew your son was a crackhead. Oh, he was a good boy. You know your son's selling drugs out of your house.
Right.
Oh, they didn't have to do her like that. You know she's violent and uncontrollable. You can't even control her. But as soon as they have a negative contact, it suddenly becomes someone else's fault.
Right.
No, you're raising these degenerates. They're born in these circumstances, in these cultures, and I'm tired of them getting a pass. Sean, it is embarrassing to have constantly hear how infantile and weak and needy black folks are. Listen, and I know someone out there is listening now saying they're preaching to the choir, where choir members are sinners too. They need to be reminded too. They're at church for a reason. Now, not just to sing, they need to hear the message too. So don't give me that junk about, well, we already know. Well, tell it. Be bold enough to go out and say it then. Don't give me this junk anymore about people being afraid to call. What names do you think Drew and I have been called? Can you imagine? Come on now. We've gotten past the point where we can play nice about this junk, right?
Yeah. I think it does. It does demand more people say exactly what we're sitting here saying, is that 8 black men are dead and black men have shot these black men, right? I mean, you can say it. It's what happened. So you can just talk about that outcome, or you can go, how the heck do we keep this from happening?
Right.
Correct.
Why don't we talk about...
Right? I mean, if anything else in society, you have this, you go, we're going to have... I mean, it should be like the Manhattan Project. You know, we had to figure out how to make the bomb to stop the Nazis.
Right.
Okay, get everybody on the same... Okay, so how do we stop... Listen, since the Bible, there's always going to be violence. But this, we have to mitigate. We cannot live in a world like this where... It's not even news sometimes when black people shoot black people.
It
makes the news, but it's like, oh, hey, it's just, you know, it's another, you know, black on black crime. Move on.
The idea is, once again, it starts at the house. It starts with parents, right? We have to raise our children. We have to teach them to be better people, right? Because we can't leave kids to their own devices.
No.
When fathers are not in the home, guess what? They're going to find the father figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find someone that's going to give them that environment that they look for, because children are going to need structure, right? So young men are going to go out and they're going to find it, whether it be with their father and their mother at home or whether it be in the street, but they're going to get structure from somewhere.
Yeah, and I think, you know, John and I, being the old guys here, talk about the, you know, when we were young, that we have one set of modeling coming from our fathers, from our family. And yes, I didn't exactly spend all my time in Sunday school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you had this tether to what was right. You'd swing out away from it a little bit and tetherball come back. And, you know, you had something anchored to you going, yeah, this is too far. This is not right.
Even when you did wrong, you knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no one made an excuse for it. We knew when we went and got that bottle of Mad Dog from the tent store in the terrace, we knew what would happen if we got caught.
Yes.
And everybody in Hillsdale know exactly what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. My older brother and I, we gave my parents fits. We took turns. Right? But right. at least we can say we made our own choices. We may not have always done right, but we knew it was wrong.
But you had that
right.
You had that baseline
right.
of what
mm-hmm. Raise a child in the way and they'll return.
Correct. Right. And y'all have said this before too, that we got to tackle this younger than the people we're talking about here. A 17-year-old, mm-hmm. 18-year-old, sometimes mm-hmm. these guys are too, I mean, there's everybody is redeemable, mm-hmm. but it's a harder job than right. than getting somebody, a kid who's, 10, 11, right? 9, mm-hmm. 10, 11, and they're, and making sure they have that. Because that's before all the other, although I guess with media, all the other forces are in their ear. You can kind of set that baseline with
right.
them.
Our winter campaign was A Child's Future Begins at Home. And Sean, we thank you for being a member, and thank you for always having us on to promote it. Yeah. But we were pointing that out. A child's future begins at home. The foundation for what that child will become starts at home. That's not to say that you can be a great parent and go to church and have dinner together that there's a 100% guarantee, but you improve the chances of your child leading a successful non-criminal life.
Yes.
Drew, we used to say, don't commit crimes. Don't go where crimes are committed. Don't associate with people who commit crimes. And if all
and
else...
guess what? You don't have interactions with police.
99 point. A wise man told me that. 99.9% likelihood that you do not have negative contact with police. And Drew, if nothing else, don't embarrass a family. You were taught that.
Correct. Absolutely. And, the idea that if you don't have that family structure, right, if you don't have someone to reel you in, just like you mm-hmm. were talking about, then, of course, it makes it so much easier for someone to go out there and do what they shouldn't do. But I didn't want to embarrass my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to embarrass my father. So I couldn't go out and just do, something willy-nilly like that. I couldn't just go out there and commit a crime.
Because there's a baseline established.
Right.
And we're all very lucky. We obviously had good upbringings, all of us. We had a baseline that even though we come back to that baseline. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a baseline, you keep setting a new, this is now the new normal. This is acceptable. Right. Now this is, because there was no baseline to come back to.
And we keep making excuses for bad behavior. We keep saying it's not the child's fault that they don't go to school and sit down and shut up. We have to dumb down the curriculum so they can pass. It's not the school, it's not the parents' fault that their children don't come to school fed and bathed and clothed. Listen, poor people, I'm not blaming poverty. I was poor for a while. After my parents divorced, we spent 2 years with my mother and we were poor on Wisconsin Avenue. We were poor. I never thought about breaking into my neighbor's house.
Right.
I never thought about stealing from Miss Johnson down the street nope. or boot nanny across the street. It never crossed our minds because we were raised, don't take things from people.
Don't take something that's not yours.
So now we're conditioning young black boys and black girls that their choices is not their fault. They're irresponsible for everything, white racism, systemic racism, and slavery. And the only thing that's going to solve your problems is reparation. Drew, I tell you this. If they handed out $1 million checks for reparations, don't stand in between me and the bank. But there are some people, if you give them $1 million, all you'll do is have $1 million drug dealer or $1 million crackhead. Foundation is at home.
Okay, coming right back. More with Drew and John, Men Unite Against Violence, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and good to have. It's good because I love seeing these men, John Young and Drew Ford, with Men United Against Violence. Problem is, what has them back in studios? What we seem to not be addressing, y'all are addressing, Men United Against Violence are addressing, but somebody's missing the message here.
It's the people that have the loudest voices, the same people that show up to the council meetings every week and decry how terrible and racist the police department is, the people that have the Facebook pages, the people receiving federal money, the alphabet organizations. They have the platforms that people listen to. I spoke at a church a month ago, and Drew, we don't want anybody to think we change our message because of the audience. We tell this message to anyone, anywhere, anytime. If you want
the same guys everywhere you go.
Everywhere we go. Yeah. We'll debate anyone. We'll meet anyone wherever you want us to meet us. I spoke at a church maybe 3 weeks ago, Isaiah 53 Church on Moffitt Road, and told them the same thing, the exact same message. And they hugged me and took pictures with me. It isn't the majority of people that disagree with us. The people who disagree with us are making the money off of it. They stand to gain from it, whether it's political clout or if it's financial funding. But we need the people that have the loudest voices. We've gone to council meetings and appealed to them. Hey, support our campaign. Give us a thumbs up on Facebook. Take a picture of our billboards. Why do you do billboards? Well, it's like advertising, right? If they weren't selling cars using billboards, how many attorneys' billboards did you see up? You know, at most, so billboards work, right? But we still need it promoted. Well, we don't have any money. Like, we have about $1,100 or $1,200 left, enough for our summer campaign. But we're not in it for the money. We're in it for the message to actually change lives, Drew. Listen, if there were 7 fatalities at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest.
Yes, let's talk. Let's do that. Let's do the fun thing. Let's do this. So we've got 7 white people. Let's do 7 white people for those people who don't. 7 white people dead from other white people in shootings.
White people would demand to know why.
Correct.
They would be screaming from the mountaintops.
They'd be down at the city council saying, you get this under control.
Right.
You get it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, that's real.
And so, and that goes to say, Drew, that we are the Black misleadership class has become the default spokespeople for an entire population, and they aren't being honest, are they?
And the question, I wonder why it is that within the Black community, we have such a disconnect between the community and law enforcement when it comes to just trying to stamp out violence within your own neighborhood.
Right.
Because
trying to make sure that Black people don't get killed.
Right.
I mean,
correct.
What a concept.
Because let's say it was a shooting in the middle of a white neighborhood, we would have witnesses coming out from the woodworks trying to say, this is what I saw. I've got this. I've got that. Right. Let me help out. Let me do something to get this under control. Right?
Is it that it just culturally not going to do it, or is it the fear of repercussion?
It's culturally not going to do it. It changed with gangster rap when the snitching came in. Remember, this wasn't always the way we grew up.
Right.
Even when we grew up, Sean, that's and correct. Drew's 10 years younger than we are. Next month, you'll be 43.
Young man,
But it wasn't always this way. Parents used to turn their kids in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a buddy that skipped school, and his dad took him back to school.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with
you know, we know who we're talking about, don't we? So it hasn't always been this way, but with the promotion of single-parent homes, with the promotion of broken families, with the promotion of rap culture that has hijacked an entire race and ethnic group, this is what we're left with. It is expected that a woman is supposed to have child out of wedlock, right? Mm-hmm. It's expected that a boy will have kids all over the neighborhood. The drug dealer now is held up as the hero and as the person you should emulate. We used to hate drug dealers. You know, one of the greatest scourges on Black people was the crack cocaine epidemic.
Yeah.
And who was selling crack to Black people? Other black people. Who's shooting Black people? Other black people. Who's making up babies with a bunch of women and not taking care of them? Other black people. So the problems within that subculture.
So why do we have this narrative, this idea? Now, I've heard this on the news multiple times where they'll say, oh, well, white supremacy is the greatest threat to democracy.
Yeah,
right?
So that's the new thing, you know, coming out of national politics. It's white supremacy or white nationalism, you know, or whatever it's called there. Yeah,
right. And I'm looking around, going, where are all these racist white people running around killing people at? Where is that?
I tell you what, I'm going to use some of my affirmative action, Sean. You use your white supremacy,
okay?
And let's take that to the bank and see how much who's going to give us a darn bank loan. They're going to ask us for our credit score.
That's correct.
You know, I've lived around poor white people, and they wish they had some white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I've lived with neighbors whose cars was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get together and grill out in the courtyard and talk about problems. And they were worse. I could run my air conditioner. There was a couple behind me that could not run their air during the summer. They couldn't afford it in Mobile.
Right.
Don't talk this crazy. That's just deflection. It's not taking self-responsibility. And nowadays, every time we say this to a young black boy, a young black girl, regardless of what you do, when the police show up, they ain't had to do that to you. That's just setting up the next phase for the next person to do it. Everybody wants that check, and they don't care how they get it. At what cost? At what cost?
Well, we're seeing it. Lives.
Yep.
That's a cost. Right. I mean, a fatal cost.
And so we know who's selling drugs, but he's a hero when the police show up? We know who's these guys that are selling drugs and shooting into houses, but what do you think is going to happen when a violent person has contact with the police?
Is that part of the problem, though? That's what I'm saying, this fear that when the police, you know, I've talked about this plenty, mm-hmm. but I know I've talked about it in the past, from the sheriff's department to police department. Is there a real fear that if somebody gives information, now I know we have the anonymous stuff, but is that part of it?
Can no fear of it, Drew. No. That's just the mindset. This nonsense has been preached for 30 years, and it's just recited. Same thing calling yourself the N-word, calling yourself a thug, or women calling themselves B. No, there's no fear of repercussions of anybody, right?
No. There's not any fear in it. Matter of fact, I mean, I can't think of a situation where anybody was ever retaliated against when it comes to them cooperating with police. I've never even heard of it.
Okay, I just have to ask you.
You
people
have to
say that. That's they'll say, well, that's the reason people aren't reporting.
It's all part of the excuse making, the narrative, telling black people how hopeless and helpless we are. Listen, all to your white listeners, there's no such thing as white supremacy. The income gap is not between black folks and white folks. It's internal. Am I earning more money now than 10 years ago? I don't care how much money Sean Sullivan earns. That has nothing. I'm not trying to catch up with him, right?
But that's because you take responsibility for yourself, right?
Right.
It's really just that simple. Self accountability. Because if you compared yourself to Bill Gates, I mean,
right? Or my brother, exactly.
What good would that do?
Right. Men aren't even equal to themselves over their lifetime.
Exactly.
How the heck can you be equal to somebody you don't know? I'm calling out the hypocrisy. You know who you are. You know who the liars are. You know if you're lying. Mobilians, let's stop letting them lie to us.
Can y'all do this? Because we're close up against the break, but I got questions for you. Can you hang on?
Sure can.
Okay.
Sure.
Can we y'all to, and,
absolutely.
And people asking too, just right now, we'll visit this again. So the summer campaign, how can they help on the summer campaign?
When we announce it, show up. Okay. We're going to announce a billboard. Sean, you've been to a couple of them. When we decide on what our campaign slogan is, you always bring us back on. We do our media tour announcing it. Just show up and stand shoulder to shoulder with men who don't look like you from different backgrounds, different income levels, and say, we are men, we love our families, and we love our community. Right, Drew?
For sure.
Yeah, and to answer Pat there, because Pat said we can go to all the rallies and public appearances, but the moment you get off stage and put the white guy on stage, stuff gets wild. I don't know. I've been plenty of white guys at these events, too.
Right.
What are they saying, that white people don't show up?
Yeah, he said if you put them on stage, and then it's not a good thing.
That's a perfect thing, as long as you're telling the truth.
Bingo. All right, be right back.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. And continuing my conversation with my friends Drew Ford and John Young, Men United Against Violence. Summertime campaign comes up, and we'll, if not have them back before, we'll talk about that on a positive note. But we're now just talking about, John, you rolled out the stat the last month. Seven.
In May, and we still have, 10 days left? And at the rate we're going, we'll have 10 deaths. You know, seven. If there were 7 fatalities in Mobile citywide, there would be a study on why are Mobilians crashing and dying. Mm-hmm. If 7 children drowned in the pool this summer,
they'd
there would
shut
be
down
a,
every dang pool. Probably
there would be an interesting discussion. Council members were saying we need to make our pool safer.
Mm-hmm.
Why Barbara Drummond, the state legislator, proposed making shooting intos a Class A felony? The Congressional Black Alabama Caucus said no. Drew, why did they say no?
Because they know that black people are the majority of that crime.
Okay,
right?
but wait a second. Like I said, when this right. came up in session, Drew, I talked about the same thing. And those homes they're shooting into, who's in those homes?
Oh, the victims are black as well.
They're black people too. So, right. so that wait, the black person that commits a crime. Help me here, because I'm like, what do I know? I'm just a white guy, you know. But the black person that commits the crime is more important, should be defended
right.
than the innocent black person that got shot?
We're
right.
more worried about putting black criminals in jail than we are the black victims that they victimize. Ain't that something?
Right.
So
everybody in this conversation, everybody in that situation is black, but for some reason we're going to side with the person who is hurting.
Right. And that's why we have so much silence on this topic.
It should be a Class A felony.
And they should go to jail without bond until their court date.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if you got to build new prisons. I don't care if they're stacked in there on each other. I'm fed up with the violence. And that immunity only gives them impunity. They are just emboldened when they hear these things. When they hear that, when I point a gun at the police and they shoot me, and it's the police fault because they should have asked me nicely to put the gun down. If I fight at the school and the police come and pick me up and throw me down, is there a fight? Because they should have asked me nicely not to do that anymore. Dog, stop committing crimes. Stop doing things that bring you into contact with police. That's all we're saying, Drew.
That's simple.
You've never been handcuffed or had a cop point a gun at you.
Never.
You've never been robbed by a drug dealer. Your house was never kicked in for a search warrant.
Nope.
Because you made choices not to do the things that lead to that outcome.
It's not that difficult, J.Y.
It isn't. We've lived our whole lives. Sean, you might be surprised, but we are both black men.
Y'all are black?
Our entire lives.
Black?
Inside and out.
I'll be darned.
And I've never had a gun pointed at me. I've never been robbed of drugs. I've never had my search warrant executed on my house.
How is that possible?
By not committing crimes, by not socializing with people who commit crimes, and not frequenting areas where crimes are committed.
Easy.
It's just that simple. It works. This isn't new. What is new is the acceptance of it and the normalization of it.
And if you wouldn't do it in front of your mama...
Don't
do it in public. It's really just that.
Lisa says, I love these men, black, white, red, or yellow. The passion is so heartfelt. We need more leaders like Mr. Young, which let me transition for a second. Like I tell you all each week, in the nappies, there's still a few days of voting in the nappies. VoteNappies.com for our friend John Young, for best law enforcement, for best police officer, and best Mobilian. So check those out in the nappies.
And epitome of servant leader.
That's right.
Right.
So go in there in City Life. You'll see it in the City Life section. Be voting regularly.
Be nice to add to my Alabamian of the year.
Yep, you got that from last year. You're going to have like a new mantelpiece for all the trophies and all that
stuff. If only I was appreciated by my job as much as I am by the public.
But let me say this. Your job is what?
Oh,
public safety.
I am. That's right. I've been with the department now 23 years.
The public is supporting somebody who is involved, both human, in public safety.
Right.
Right.
So it's funny. Cream rises to the top. Let's see. Bayman says, your guests are spot on. Until we change the broken family unit, the parents, this will continue. Now, Sam says, I had no father in the home, just a mother, but I wouldn't do anything to embarrass her. I think it has a lot to do with women today that seems like they'll lay down with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They call it hot girl summer. Who would have ever thought you'd celebrate being a strumpet? How did
that's
that
a great word. That's a great
thank
word.
You. I want you to keep your license. But how do we get to this point that we are celebrating this nonsense? Lizzo puts on a girdle and we applaud her?
Right.
These guys are making multiple babies, selling drugs and materialism, gold teeth, gold chains. When did we get here?
We even glamorize violence. Right.
Very much so.
What else are they saying?
I want to read, because there's a whole bunch in here for y'all. Why don't young people value life?
They're not taught to. The celebration of materialism and thug life, right, Drew?
That's it. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, it's what we see within the public, right? Mm-hmm. It's what we see in the mainstream, in the media, all the time, right? You've got rap music and what are the movies and mm-hmm. Music videos and all of those things. That's what they see, and they want to emulate that.
Yeah, but okay. So, but John and I have talked about this a bunch, Drew. I think it goes back that if you have that family unit that you're taught those values.
Right.
Now, my rap music might have been a little different than some of the stuff today, but I mean, I listen to everything and watch the violent movies and all those things. I didn't go do it because I knew what was right. That was entertainment. That was fantasy.
Right.
That wasn't reality. Reality was dad. Yeah. Right? I mean, that was reality.
And you couldn't listen to that music in the house.
No. Or if you did, it was with the headphones underneath.
You better hope you hear him coming in the room. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. We're not teaching these values at home. It starts at home.
It does indeed, because this texter says, I guarantee you, this is what we did address earlier, guarantee you the people you're trying to reach with this message are not listening to 106.5. But we are trying to beat the message to people from 106.5.
Well, you give the message then, since you've heard it.
Well,
you
know, it's all of us in this problem.
Right.
My part of it is all of us in the community that want to make a change here. It's not...
Sean, it's one mobile. When we have our
group,
there are men from different backgrounds, walks of life, ethnicities. There are different men that stood in the rain with us,
mm-hmm.
and you know, in December, it was freezing cold when we launched our Child's Future Starts at Home.
Yep.
There are men who listen to this podcast or this radio show and show up at our meetings and then take the word forward. So again, choir member, you have
That's
an
right.
obligation and duty to carry the word forward. So if you then have the word that you've received from us to share with other people, and don't make a mistake about it. Drew and I will go anywhere, anytime, and say the same thing to anybody.
Yeah, we as a community should demand a change.
It's one mobile, right?
That's right. Adam says, Sean, a question for my friend JY. The social issues and family structure issues have been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. So what has changed to make this crime more prevalent?
Well, it really hasn't been. Only 30 years ago, did the celebration of single parenthood take hold. So while we have had always broken families, there had always been a father in those families or a father interacting. Mm-hmm. What we have now are men who are completely devoid, right, from their families. And in place of it, the mothers are getting younger. They aren't fully mentally developed. So they adhere to whatever's popular now, anti-social media, television. So it's not just the fathers aren't there. Women are told they don't need a man. The government will replace that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Women
how does that work?
Step in.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then women are told to celebrate being promiscuous. And then they're told to celebrate violent behavior.
And young black men, they're told to celebrate being violent, right? I'm supposed to be this dangerous criminal. I want to sell drugs. I want to carry a gun. Right.
Bling, bling. I want gold teeth. And
so materialism.
So while we've always had single parent homes, we've never celebrated it. We never normalized the violence that is associated with being on television or carrying guns. That's the biggest difference. We promote it as black culture.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it, but mm-hmm. I'll ask it again for people who haven't heard, because we can only all speak for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not a representative of all white people, not a representative of all black people. Mm-hmm. For you, John, and you, Drew, what does it feel like when you're told that's your culture?
Oh, I'm angry, Drew.
Right, that they said that's black culture, and you're like, oh, wait a second, I'm black, so that's my culture?
It is not black culture at all. I mean, so I rebuke that. That there is absolutely no way that I'm going to sit up here and say that violence is my culture, that drugs is my culture, that promiscuity is my culture, right? I was raised by my mom, my dad. We went to church.
In Tolmanville, right?
What? In 8 Mile.
In 8 Mile.
Yeah.
You went to LaFleur.
Right. I went to LaFleur High School. So, you know, my culture is wholesome. That's my culture.
Yeah.
And having for most people, it is the same way. We don't sell drugs. We don't fight all the time. We don't shoot at people.
Right.
That's not black culture, but
that's like taking this segment of people that causes this problem And you could do it for any other group and say, oh, that's the culture of whatever it is. Being a meth addict, that's the white culture. You know,
but,
I mean,
but that's
know,
the like, sad part about it is that black people are saying this about self. Black politicians are saying, well, that's we don't want that stiffer penalties for that, right?
Right. The problem is that for whatever reason, we want to embrace everything that's negative. Everything that's negative and call it black culture.
Broken
How?
English. This day dim.
Right. What well, that's, Ebonics? Well, where did that come from?
Right. How do we get to this sense? Point? Miss Gully, my English teacher at Baker High School, would have a fit if she heard me speak that way.
Right.
Right. Same way she would for any of her students.
Right. We weren't allowed to go into class and speak in broken English. You say that for your buddies on your way home. Correct. You couldn't speak it inside the house. Correct. How do we? And that's the problem. Black culture has been hijacked by rap music. It's been hijacked by thugism and gangsterism and hoism. It's been hijacked by everything negative. The worst part is that it's black people saying it about themselves.
And there are people that embrace it.
Right.
For whatever reason.
I'm going to hold y'all over some more if I can, because we've got more questions here coming through. So we're talking with my buddies Drew Ford and John Young, Men Unite Against Violence. Come back to Dirt Digger says, I like to listen to John Young and Drew, but I hate it's always bad things happening. I'm looking forward to when people will listen to him for this great community leader that he is. Y'all keep it up. May God keep blessing y'all. Y'all are telling the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it. So we're 15 years with this radio station, so he's 16, 17 years in the getting rid of your problems game. Mobile County, Baldwin County, you got junk. It could be at your house, could be your office, storage unit. You got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I've used them personally, used them with this radio station. Actually, several of us around here have. And if you go to the Google reviews, you'll see names you know out there that took the time to go online and say, I really appreciated this service. People are really quick to go online and go, oh, I didn't like the... Look at the number of people, the hundreds of people on there that say they love the service from Trey and his crew. All local folks doing a great job of getting rid of junk. And appointments, you know, they get it. Like this whole idea, like, oh, they'll be there sometime. You know, you call big cable company or whatever, they're going to be there sometime between 7 and 7. So you have to take the whole day off and they don't show up till 7:30. No, they actually make an appointment when you call or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll find the day that works for you, the time that works for you. They set an appointment. You're there, they're there. You point at the junk, you want gone. They quote your price on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. So you need some junk gone. You need my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Speaking of buddies, Drew Ford and John Young from Men Unite Against Violence in studio. I would get so many texts here. I'm going to try to get to this. How about this one? Unnamed texter said, Sean, in the military, when we get these kids in basic training, we get to see the whole kid in the raw. You guys are right. That comes down to raising and a few other things called values and honor. One thing we have to create is a bridge to honor and respect for these kids. It sounds so simple to say that a child needs a role model, but that is exactly what they need. The state government gets involved when the behaviors have gotten too far out of hand. Parents aren't being responsible in teaching their kids honor and respect, or at least getting them the help they need. That's not a name. That's from the Angry Patriot.
All right, and that's the truth.
Honor is good. Yeah,
I totally agree with that.
You know, because you're talking about bringing back shame on the one side, which should be brought back. The other thing is, hey, you do honor these people, and then maybe one day you will elevate yourself to a place of honor as well,
young man. And then it goes back to saying sir and ma'am. You know, now these kids won't even address someone as sir and ma'am. And 13, 14 years old will come up and call me J.Y., you little rat, you don't know me. You know, hey, man, what's up? That's right. The failure of the family, of the home, and that's where it begins. If we fix the family, Drew, then a lot of the things we're talking about just doesn't occur, Sean. It doesn't happen.
And it also goes back to what we were talking about with burying the N-word, right?
Right.
When you call yourself something derogatory, then you have a tendency to behave that way, right?
And to revisit that, so that, you know, we did that event and we did the ceremonial burying of the N-word. And you and I talked about this, John. I don't know, Drew, if you and I did, you know, this idea that, like, it wasn't something that came out of my mouth or in my house growing up, but I always thought, well, but black people can say it. You know, it's a word for black people. They can say it, and it means something different. And to listen, y'all, too specifically, you're like, no, it doesn't. It reflects.
Right. Even spoken when I was growing up, it was never said in public. And it had to be with family members.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was said in jest, it was not something promoted now that's in music, television, kids shouting it through the mall. You've degraded yourself to the point that there's no more shame. Women are now bees and hoes. The language of these young girls, they have tattoos on their neck and tongues tattooed on their bosom. Our boys are walking around their underwear showing. They have fruity underwear on with ripped up skinny jeans and fruity clothes, bedazzled jackets, bedazzled belts. They're wearing shells tied into their hair. They've taken on these feminine traits. Women have taken on these immodest traits, and everybody's violent and fighting one another. That's what we're dealing with now. That's a failure of the doggone home. They're so afraid to admit the homes are failing because they will put the responsibility back on the people to make better choices. And the people who are making money off of it or gaining some type of political grandstanding, it doesn't benefit them to come out and tell the truth. Go ask these teachers at these failing schools what their biggest problems are. Disciplinary problem and absenteeism. And they're graduating kids now that can't read, write, and count because of a federal mandate.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that, I mean, you know, we just got Literacy Act passed, but I mean, you and I talked about that way back, too. To say it's okay that kid can't read at level to go into the next grade, you're failing that kid. You're not helping that kid. You're hurting that kid.
Right.
And hold them back and make sure the kid can read, because then everything else, the whole world opens up.
Right.
You can then study the things. You could be a brilliant young man or young woman, but if you can't read, you can't study. Then you're going, well, I guess I'm a dumb one.
Right. I mean, so you're setting them up to aspire to be a rapper or a basketball wife or whatever that's going on now, Drew. I mean, it's just this. We've set it up. We've coddled and cajoled these little kids and these parents, irresponsible parents, so much that there's no longer right and wrong. Being dumb is cool. You know, being illiterate is cool. You can't read, write, or count. You can't type. You can't sign your name. How do we celebrate? How did we get here? How did this happen?
And what path to success does that create?
Right.
Yeah, and this is, okay, because, I mean, we're going to run up against the break again, but because I want to ask you this one. So with what you talk about this, from civil rights movement to now, and the sacrifices that were made by black people, right, to change this system, and the grandparents and the great-grandparents and the parents, the sacrifices that were made to change what was wrong, and then not to embrace what you were given, the legacy you were given to be able to go to school and get the same education as a white kid, to be able to do this, is it what, to then say, nah. Mm-hmm. I think from my eyes, it looks like disrespect to the legacy of the people that came before you.
Right.
That actually sacrificed.
Right.
And, you know, and that's a slap in the face to that generation.
That's what I mean. It's like it's disrespectful
to, you know. And I've heard JY say this many, many times before, you know, black people made great progress after slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an unprecedented amount of progress because they were able to get educated and get into the workforce. And that's difficult to do when you start with nothing, right?
It's the most difficult.
Right. They started with nothing, but they were able to get into life. They were able to get into society and have a great measure of success, right? Even with
all the things laws against them.
Right. Even with things
Jim
working
Crow
against them.
Yes.
Right. Which at a point when racism was truly systemic, it was built into the system.
Bingo. Then people sacrifice so much to then turn around and not respect or appreciate it. I've got to hold you over again here, yeah, guys, because we're not even close to finish with this discussion. My buddies Drew Ford and John Young from Men United Against Violence, our guests.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along, and good to have a conversation with Drew Ford and John Young. Stepping off of two things to talk about in the positive, Men United Against Violence, which, reminder too, if y'all have not gone, you got Facebook presence here. Y'all, tell them where to go.
Men United Against Violence in Mobile. We have our Facebook page. I'm the administrator. I admit I'm not that good at it. I am getting better.
Yep.
But if you contact us through that, I'll get back with you. You can call me directly, 251-513-4179.
And I can always, if y'all didn't get that right down the road, I'll just get in touch with me and I'll give you John's number. But this is also stemming off of the month of May.
Mm-hmm.
The month of May, the deadly month of May so far.
Right. Seven black men killed.
Yeah.
Three of them will go to grand jury. They're possibly self-defense. But there are four that are being criminally investigated. And that's 20 for the year. But we still have 10 days in May, Drew.
Right.
And it's not the weather. It's just immoral people. It's not poverty. It's immoral people. It's not systemic racism or any other ism. It's just immoral people.
And I think, so Superbomb says here, I think every race has their cultural problems. Black kids are killing each other, but it's the white kids that do mass school shootings. It's the basic lack of parenting from both races, and single women can rear strong men. You just have to be prepared to not be liked for the first 17 or 18 years of their life. Parents get to live their best life after their kids are grown.
Well, you know, they're trying to make the comparison between a white kid shooting up a school and black on black violence. Violence is violence, agree, but it is not the disproportionate reference to population that we're talking about, right, Drew?
Right.
And the number of these individual shootings that are occurring, you know, any shooting is a tragedy, but that's kind of a false comparison, isn't it?
Right, because you know, when you look at mass shooters or school shooters for that matter, the percentage of that is pretty low.
Right. You do have some. You have failures in parenting in a lot of those cases.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, I totally agree with that because a parent should be.
But yeah, the numbers of them compared to black on black crime is not
correct because you can look across the country. You can look in Mobile, you can look in Tuscaloosa,
Selma.
You can look in Selma, you can look in any city that you want to look at across the country, okay? The black population is usually the smallest, right? But yet your violent crime is usually the highest. Why?
It's disproportionate relative to population. 51% black population in Mobile, 80% of the violent crime. Why?
And that violent crime, once again, that we talk about is black people shooting black people.
Right.
It's like the idea about the not shooting into. The people that are getting the houses shot into, the vehicles shot into, that are the victims, they are also black.
They are also black. Right. So,
jeez Louise.
Okay. And the reluctance to admit, you can only watch the news and see the photographs of the suspects to see who predominantly the suspects are or the arrestees are or who's walked out of the back door of headquarters. We already know it's time for the open admission, publicly admit it, and then start saying why. And we know it's going to trace back to the family, but we have to state it publicly and then put the shame into broken families. That's all it comes down to. These are personal choices that people are making.
This texter, Damn Yankee, says, please come out to some of the high schools. Start with Vigor, LaFleur, and Chickasaw. Schedule it for the first week of school in August.
Well, one of our other members, Bishop Wesley Davis, have a school ministering program they go. So thank you for that advice. But there are so many men doing so many things already. But because it's positive, no one really wants to put it on the news. You know, they don't want to report on black men setting positive examples in black schools. They want to show up when there's a mass fight or there's a shooting at a school, but they don't want to show up when Bishop Davis and his buddies are going to schools.
what would be more important?
But I don't know if they were even asked not to come back to a school because a student asked one of the men in the group to pray with him.
Sure did.
They were asked not to come back. They said they were
asked not to come back.
Promoting Christianity. One of the students said, pray. Who knows why that child needed prayer at that moment? They might have stopped him from hurting someone or hurting himself. And they asked these men not to come. Black men at a black school praying with a black boy. That's a true story.
And they asked him not to come back.
They asked him not to come back because they prayed with the student.
And that's a problem. And you know what? As people in the community, as people that live in Mobile, we need to address that, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's an issue.
They're telling us to go get involved, and when we do, oh, but not like that. And you guys want to tell me this isn't an evil agenda? I can't help but believe this is an evil agenda. There's systemic evil in this, that they are promoting broken families to broken black families. They're promoting black people killing each other. They're promoting the black effeminization. They're promoting black. It just has to be an agenda, and the people who are responsible to call it out and change it aren't. All of our political leaders.
That's how we all work together. We demand that they do.
We have to. When we stood together, Sean, when we walked down Dolphin Street, when we stood in, those were men standing shoulder to shoulder saying, I love my family and I love my city. All races, all income levels, all professional levels.
That's right.
That's what we need more of. That be so loud. If we're not happy with our elected officials, elect someone else. Don't stay home and say, oh, I'm not going to vote. Go vote for someone differently if you think that's it. Mm-hmm. Hold your preacher accountable. Hold your Jerry Curl wearing, Cadillac driving, eat the best parts of the chicken preacher accountable. Ask them, why aren't you, you know they're selling drugs at this convenience store down the street from the church. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you down there?
Yeah.
You know that she has six babies out of wedlock. Why aren't you over there? That's the issue. The people that have the power to reach the masses, as someone stated, the people that have the power need to say it louder. Everyone has a responsibility, Drew.
Look at it. Your friendly neighborhood banker on the text line said, I don't think it's stated enough how big of a role social media plays in the violence we experience in our community. I grew up in R.V. Taylor. When we had beef, we fought it out because we weren't worried about getting our butts beat and it being posted online to last forever. These dudes shoot because they're afraid of being embarrassed. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, that's
that angle.
True, isn't it?
You know, I believe that is true. You know, the problem is that in this day and age, kids don't know how to take a loss. A lot of these guys don't know how to take a loss. Because if you fight and lose, now you got to retaliate.
Yeah.
Right. You can't just take it because it's so public, right?
That's a thought process that I didn't have. That
right.
Well, dad taught his son first how to defend himself. Don't go picking fights with people.
That's right.
And son, you win some, you lose some, but you always live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Remember, I get cut from the football team. I was very unathletic. Tall, dark, and handsome doesn't mean I can run fast. And I went home complaining.
You didn't play line?
No, dude.
You weren't on the line with me.
I was on the basketball team, and I looked pretty good in those shorts. That's the only reason I was there. And when I got cut, you know, from trying to play football, and I went home complaining, and my dad said, son, you're slow. He said, you're skinny.
Yeah.
You know, it's your fault.
There's somebody who's better at the job
than
you.
He didn't go up there and curse out the football coach and get mad at school.
Changed.
You know?
That's changed.
No, son, it's you. My dad integrated Scott Paper Company. You guys have heard me say that before. The sacrifices he made for me to go to school and fail the seventh grade was an insult to him. Mm-hmm. It broke his heart because he knew he attended segregated school, Mobile County Training School, and it was segregated, and they would get, in the eighth grade, they'd get the fifth grade books from Murphy, and the pages would be missing. He could not understand the opportunity. Why would I give up this opportunity that he sacrificed for me to have?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to look at now. Don't stop saying what you have now. Look at what your grandparents sacrificed for you, Mobile. Look at what 100%. My dad sacrificed, integrated, being threatened to be thrown over in the vat, and you shouldn't earn that kind of money because you're black. And think about what he did for me so I didn't have to.
That's right.
So that's, Drew, we can't pretend that this is an issue that's outside of black folks' control. We could turn this around tomorrow.
Right. And I think it's one of these things. You turn around tomorrow, but we've talked about it. We're in such a world where people want immediate results. It took us a long time to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
and it's going to take a while to get out. But that doesn't mean it's not worth getting up every day and doing it. It's like everything we tell our kids, too. I'm like, it's a grind,
right?
You know, when you're working on school or whatever. But then one day you're going to look around over your shoulder and go, dang, look at how far I came. Look at that. It just doesn't happen like over like a TV show where by the end of the episode, everything's great.
I mean, losing weight isn't easy either, but you have to get up every day and go to the gym, right?
Yep.
And so this is the exact same mentality. It took us 30 years to get here. It might take us 30 to get out of it. But if we start today, the sooner we'll get out of it. And we have to begin by being honest. You know, I had political, I just told you guys, I thought about running for political office, and I just told you why I won't. But this transcends politics. This transcends.
Absolutely. This is not.
It has nothing
human
to
do.
Right. These are human beings, and we should really consider just being honest as human beings to one another, right? I was talking to my brother, and he said you have to be ready to kill, die, or go to jail if you tell someone to turn their music down nowadays. Mm-hmm. If you ask someone, hey, will you not use that kind of language in front of my wife? You have to be ready to kill, die, or go to jail. How the heck did we get here?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it and things that had happened that we got to end.
Right.
And you know what? If you forget that past, look where we are.
Right.
You forget that past. So, by the way, too, speaking of just votes, though, plenty of people on here that are online right now at votenappies.com voting for you, John. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Getting the votes there.
Right. Don, hey, is it true you have to buy your nappy poster?
It shouldn't be. No.
It isn't? Oh, okay. Someone told me I have to.
No. Yeah. But.
Good.
I'll make sure that's, Don says, Sean, I totally agree with John and Drew. What we're dealing with here in Mobile is pure evil manifesting itself in the potentially good people as long as they serve the Lord and live their life according to God's plan for them and not serve the devil. I have nothing but total respect for the organization. I will stand any day next to them in a lightning storm.
Oh, so, wonderful.
Thank you.
We had one of those.
That. Yeah.
Good. Nancy, right?
All right. Well, yeah, that's good. We keep those texts coming here. Yeah. I know that there's... here's one. Just look at the way the kicker was treated for what he said at the graduation ceremony. This is not only a black issue. Right, folks who hate this country will never be satisfied until they destroy America.
Well, and we are patriots, Drew. We are red-blooded Americans.
For sure.
We are nonviolent. We are not pacifists. There's a difference.
That's right.
We stand for what is right, for better for our families, our homes, and our country, right?
Absolutely. And you talk about, you know, it came up earlier when we were talking about culture. You know, I got a culture. It's American culture.
Right. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So the thing that makes us all exactly alike here is American culture.
When people were immigrating legally, migrating here legally to America, they came to become Americans. Mm-hmm. Newly freed slaves celebrated the 4th of July because now we are Americans. We fought to become Americans.
Right.
That's what we're standing for, the American traditions and values, those that when we said the Pledge of Allegiance in school and we recited the Battle Hymn of Republic or the National Anthem, that's the proud Americans we are.
That's what's and that's one of the things, not to get too philosophical, but makes it so cool in our country, because you think of other countries around the world, the war's going on. The country and the people are the same thing. They're ethnically the same.
Right.
The country's the same. It's like the country means the ethnicity, you know, these things.
Right.
Where here, the country doesn't mean the ethnicity.
Right.
It's all Americans.
So you come here to become an American. You can't come here and remain wherever you came from. You come here to be an American. And that's one of the issues that we could talk about that another time. But if you migrated here to become an American and wave our flag and live our traditions and our Constitution, great. Don't come here saying, well, I'm this and I'm still here living. You're going to have to conform to me. No, we're American.
Well said. I'm going to, because I've held you the whole hour, I'm going to hold you the rest of the hour here. Just a few more minutes.
Oh, sure.
Okay, we're going to do that. Before we run the news, too, let me check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. If you're not fired up now, Ron, I don't know when you will be.
How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing good, Ron. So just checking in here. You had a really good story for those that had been hedging with gold and silver last week. How's it looking on this Monday?
It's doing well. Silver is actually outperforming gold right now. So silver is up to 31.86, and gold's sitting right around 24.05. So metals are doing really well. Nothing's running crazy up, and people are being smart and intelligent and doing a little bit at a time. Nobody's running in saying, give me as much gold as I can get for this much money. So the idea is treat gold and silver just like stock. Buy it and cost averaging. Buy some today, some next week, and you usually end up better off than if you just spent all your money at one spot.
Absolutely. And I just do want to point out, though, when y'all first told me to start getting in and dollar cost averaging, I was buying silver at 14-something dollars And now you're saying it's at 31?
Yeah. Yes, sir. 31.84. So it's doing very well.
I like that. I need that good news. Also, we've got graduations going on everywhere, on graduation gifts out there. What some quick ideas? Somebody's riding down the road that goes, oh, gosh, I've got a child or a loved one's child that's graduating. What do you have?
Right on the counter right now, guys, buying 5 graduation gifts. They're all 2024 American Silver Eagles. We've just ran out of the last graduation engravable. But truth be told, you can get a Silver Eagle cheaper. It's not engraved, but it's an ounce of silver. It's monetized, and it's going to hold its value a lot better than. Might not have as much sentimental value as something that's engraved, but I think it's a better thing to give somebody for an engagement, not engagement, for a graduation gift.
Give folks directions to come see you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. Phone number to shop, 251-725-1590, or find us on the web, mobilebaycoins.com. And real quick, Sean, we'll let everybody know that we're going to be closed this Friday and Monday, so we're going to have a 4-day weekend.
All right. Good for y'all. And y'all get in there before that comes and get those gifts bought. Thanks, Ron. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. There goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we're coming right back.